Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's good to be with you this evening. I don't come out usually on Sunday evening because Irene can't come out that often, and so I stay home with her, and we listen to the sermon here off the internet. But I am honored to be able to stand behind this sacred desk once more and to give you the thoughts of my mind. I want to talk to you tonight about the Beatitudes. That seems to be a word that was coined specifically to refer to the fifth chapter of Matthew. I cannot find the word in the Bible Concordance, we can find it in the Concordance, but I can't find it in the Bible Dictionary. And so that's the reason I think it was coined just to refer to this chapter pretty much. But Beatitude means perfect happiness, happy or blessed. But what is it? If we look at the word attitude, that is in the dictionary, and it's a position or posture assumed by a body in connection with an action, feeling, or mood. Matter of fact, feeling, or thinking, or shows one's disposition or opinion. One's disposition, opinion, or mental set. And so I feel that the fifth chapter of Matthew is talking about our mental set. In the Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and the 7th verse, it said, "For he that thinketh in his heart, so is he." And that's what I want us to consider tonight. He that thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, we can put on a lot of, frontage, I guess I would say, and make ourselves look pretty good sometimes. But the real Leslie is how he thinks and what he says. That produces what he actually means. As we read through the Beatitudes, it leaves a little bit open sometimes. In fact, we're going to find two different versions of the Beatitudes. One, the fifth chapter of Matthew, and one, the fifth chapter of 3rd Nephi in the Book of Mormon. They're very close together, but they were just a little different. Not enough that I'm going to make a big issue out of it. But it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is a kingdom of heaven." Quite often we think of somebody who is poor as they're lacking. They have a need. But if we return to Isaiah, the 57th chapter, I think I got it here someplace. 57th chapter and the 15th verse. "For thus saith the High and Lofty One, one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite heart and a contrite and a humble spirit, to receive spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite. And what it says there was, blessed are the poor in spirit, for their king is the kingdom of heaven. So, poor doesn't mean without or lack of. It means a contrite, one is broken. My self-will is broken if I have a contrite heart. And my only desire is to be pleasing before God. Not my own will, but before God. And going to the fourth verse, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We mourn for various things. In fact, we gathered here yesterday in the afternoon to pay tribute and somewhat mourn for the loss of one of our loved ones. Brother David Bailey's wife passed away, and we met here in remembrance of her. And it was a time of mourning, a time of remembering, but it was not a time of wasted. If we would turn to Isaiah 57, Isaiah 57 and the 45th verse. Whoop, 15th verse. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling blocks out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in high and holy places with him also that is of a contrite and a humble heart, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite. And so that's what it's saying there in Matthew. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be, no. Yeah, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we hope that our effort there yesterday was somewhat of a comfort to the family of our sister who had passed away, that God will comfort and strengthen them and bless them in their loss and their needs. It says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. God's promise of a blessing. Blessed are the meek, number 5. For they shall be inherit the earth. And now we want to turn to Moroni, the 18th chapter. Rona is back there. No, I got my notes mixed up. But I don't have a cross-reference for meek. But meek is mild, not intended to be, not inclined to be angry. One that is easy to be entreated. One that is humble before God. To be meek and not self-willed. And so, when it says that in 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. These are the things that God has promised unto those who come unto him with a broken, a contrite heart. And perhaps we are a little bit unsure what contrite means. And I'm not sure that I can explain it any better than the word itself, but it means not self-willed. Contrite, humble before God, and willing to let God have his will and his say in our lives. That is a contrite heart. Whatever God gives us, we will accept it.
Let's see, were you looking for Moroni 7?
Moroni 7.
Was it 49 maybe? Or 48? I don't know if that was your reference.
That was a... Righteous was what I was looking for at that time.
Okay.
That's number 6. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And here too is a word that sometimes we don't know just how to identify it. But righteous means what it says, right before God. And we would turn there to Moroni 8 and 29. The first fruit of repentance is baptism. And baptism comes by faith unto the fulfilling of the commandments and the fulfilling of the commandments through remission of sins. And the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowly of heart. And because of meekness and lowly of heart cometh in visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love, which love endureth for by diligence unto prayer, until the end will come when all saints shall dwell with God. And that's what righteousness is. It's the meekness that comes on us because of our dependence upon God and our deliverance unto him, all of our self-will. And number 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And then I'm going to turn to Matthew 6 and 14 for that one. No, 6, 14 and 15. Get it right in a minute. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But forgiveness of sin, mercy comes because of our willingness to forgive others. If we can have mercy for others, mercy will be given to us. If we forgive men for their sins, then Christ will forgive us of our sins. Number 8. Be therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Oh, I got the wrong one here somewhere. 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And for kind of the help on that one, I've learned to turn to Jacob, the second chapter. Second chapter, 48th verse. Behold, I, Jacob, would speak unto you that are of a pure heart. Look unto God with firmness of mind, and pray unto him with exceeding faith. And he will console you in your afflictions, and he will plead your cause and send down justice upon those who seek your destruction. O all ye that are pure in heart, lift up your heads and receive the blessing word of God, and feast upon the love that ye may, if your minds are firm forever. But woe unto him that is not of a pure heart, or filthy this day before God, for except ye repent, the land is cursed for your sake. Blessed is he of a pure heart. Look unto God with the firmness of mind and pray unto him with exceeding faith that he will console you. And so we look unto God for his blessings to bless us in our time of trial and difficulty. For we know that he is our strength and he will help us to put off those things that trouble us so. He will give us a peace of mind and the ability to receive his great blessings at his hand. And number 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. And for that I want to turn to Messiah 8 and 47. I read about 4 verses here. For I say unto you that they that are his seed, and those are they who are have published peace, and have brought good tidings of good, and have published salvation, and said unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Oh, how beautiful upon the mountains are they that are their feet. And again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those that shall publish peace. And again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who shall hereafter publish peace. Yea, from this time henceforth and forever. And behold, I say unto you, this is not all. Oh, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. For that is the founder of peace. And so we find that those who publish peace are those who try to comfort those who are troubled and that find the blessings of God to give us relief from the stress and the condition of life that sometimes surround us. And number 10, blessed are they which persecuted the righteousness, which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is his reward which is in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And I want to turn to Peter now, First Peter and fourth chapter. Start with the 14th verse. But if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of the God reigneth, resteth upon you, on your path, on your part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of your suffering be suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody, or in any other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in his behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If that be first, begin with us, what shall the end be for them that obey not the gospel? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit to the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing and to a faithful Creator. There, in that reading there in Matthew, it said we should, well, rejoice when we're persecuted because of the persecution which we might receive if it is not rightly put towards us, because they persecuted Christ also, and he did not revile against them. But as it says, he answered not again when they accused him of things. And so it is that we are called to use Christ as our example in all of our dealings with mankind. But my thought tonight is that the Beatitudes our attitudes should be pure before Christ, and we should think righteously and speak wisely and not bring accusations upon us without cause, but we might walk in uprightness before God, and we might truly be meek and humble before God. We know that all the apostles of Christ's time was persecuted. They were killed in some very dire circumstances and suffered persecution, even as Christ himself did. But even Christ, when he was laying on the cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so it is that sometimes our persecution and our accusations because of our walk before Christ brings us a little bit of rebuttal or accusation from our fellow man. I know there was times in my life and my career that I was asked to participate in some activities, and I said, no, I don't want to be a part of that, because I think that the company is treating me pretty good, and I have no reason to do anything contrary to their right and their will. Well, if that affects your old soul, go ahead. And that's the way it was. We need to stand up for what we know is right before God, and not bring accusation against us falsely. But if we do are accused falsely, then we should bear it patiently and kindly. We need to have that broken heart and a contrite spirit that we might have joy. And that those beatitudes, like I said, it's we perhaps can change our attitude. If we see that we are thinking a little bit contrary to what is written in the scriptures, we can change it and conduct ourselves properly before God. Because we're to bring peace to the earth, to the world, and not trouble and confusion and contention and strife. You know, the recording of these Beatitudes are found also in the fifth chapter of 3 Nephi. Both times it was the first thing that Christ did in the Bible here, after he chose his apostles, he went up on a mountain, he sat down, and he opened his mouth and said, blessed are the poor in spirit, and so on. In the Book of Mormon, of course, he didn't go up on a mountain. He gathered together there at the Zarahemla and close to the temple, I presume. He called his 12 apostles, and he sat down and he told them the first right off, the Beatitudes, or the attitude that they should have. Even those, he instructed them to be peaceful, at their contrite heart, and not proud and selfish, lifted up, but to be meek. And lowly of heart. I don't have much more to say to you tonight other than I know that this gospel is true and that our attitude will make a big difference in how we're treated and how we're considered and how we'll meet the problems of life, because there will be problems, there will be difficulties. But if we report to those difficulties with anger or strife just to get even, it's not right. But be meek and lowly of heart. And to accept persecution when it comes and not be too upset about it if it's unrighteous. But if persecution comes to us because of something we have done, it is wrong. It's right well that we should just accept it and apologize for our wrongdoing, that we might have the peace of God in our lives. And I leave these thoughts with you tonight, that we might overcome the many difficulties of life, for that this gospel is true. And as we heard this morning, this church is a church of Christ. I'm not here to judge anybody or any group, but I know this is the Church of Christ, and it is how God will look upon those with a humble heart and a contrite spirit in those other places. That's his work, and he will do it in his way. And so I stand not tonight to condemn anybody or any group of people, but to say God's will be done in all things. But let us remember that if we look into our hearts and see there that our attitude is not proper, it'd be a good idea to change it, because we are the only one that can change that. We might put on the front and not really change inside, but that doesn't help much. When we change from our an evil attitude, we've got to put that evil part clear away and come to him with a broken heart, a contrite spirit, one broken to his will, to God's will, and accept whatever comes, what may. So I'll leave that with you tonight, praying God will be with us in the days that are yet ahead, for I know that we are living in troublesome times. And I know too that there's yet great difficulty to come upon this great land of ours, of pandemics, famines, earthquakes, and things such as this are going to be here for some time. And also I know that there's going to be great wars here upon this very land. In fact, George Washington's vision tells us that we will nearly be overcome. That we'll be ready to repent, to surrender, but God will come to our aid with the help of a legion of white spirits. The 18th chapter of Ezekiel tells us that there will be the king of the north and all several of the kingdoms in the north part of Europe will come against Europe, against Jerusalem, and then they will come here to take a spoil. And at that point, God will rise up with anger in his heart and drive them out. See, when they leave, only 1/6 of the army that come in will be able to go to leave. The rest of them will be there. And they'll be burying the dead there in Jerusalem area for about 6 months afterwards. We have these things yet ahead of us. And so it's requisite that we put on the full armor of God, a patient and kindness, to bear the problems, the difficulties that are yet before us, because that worse things are yet to come. May God bless you and care for you in all your needs tonight.